Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's precious word for our meditation this morning is recorded in St. John's Gospel, chapter 10, reading in verses 27 and 28 the following words. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the incomparably good shepherd, dearly beloved fellow sheep of his pasture. The imagery used by the Lord Jesus in this chapter of John's Gospel in particular, as well as in many other passages both in the Old and New Testaments, the imagery of himself as the good shepherd and of his believing children as the sheep and lambs of his flock, this word picture has been used as a theme in countless works of Christian art, in almost all media. It permeates Christian music, Christian paintings, Christian sculpture, stained glass, films, and even images on the internet. It is a tender picture of the loving relationship between our Savior and us, who are his sheep. The picture of his love for us, first of all, and then our love for him in return. His care of us, and our trust in him as our provider and protector. This is the picture of him as the leader and of us as the followers. But as tender as this imagery may be, Jesus' characterization of us as sheep is far from flattering. For sheep and lambs are not the sweet, innocent, cooperative, and cuddly creatures they appear to be in pictures. Those who have ever had anything to do with real sheep here in this world know that they are among the smelliest and dirtiest of livestock. They're not very smart. They are extremely vulnerable to disease and to injury as they wander about heedlessly. And they are vulnerable to attack by animals of prey who find them an easy mark. Sheep need constant attention. Sheep need surveillance, lest they simply wander off and disappear. And they need protection, without which they would never survive on their own. Thus, Jesus' characterization of us as common domestic sheep, though hardly flattering to us, is strikingly accurate and descriptive of us in our helplessness, in our vulnerability, spiritually speaking, because of which we would be hopelessly lost forever were it not for his protection and care. Indeed, as we see from this text before us this morning, our security as Jesus' sheep and lambs lies not with us, but solely with him as our good shepherd. For his voice, which we are to hear, is unmistakable. His leading is unquestionable. His gift unspeakable, and his protection is unshakable. Jesus says in our text, "My sheep hear my voice." Many are the spiritual sheep whose carcasses lie torn asunder by hungry wolves and vultures in the wilderness of this world. All because they either ignorantly or, even worse, willfully despised the security that Jesus offered to them in the sheepfold of their good shepherd. Such wayward sheep figured that they knew exactly where they were going. Such wayward sheep figured that they knew exactly what they wanted, and they knew exactly how to get it without at the same time falling into danger, or so they thought. Unfortunately for these wayward sheep, they didn't seem to realize that they were also dumb sheep who didn't really know at all what was good for them. Sheep having no shepherd, Jesus called them in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Sheep having no shepherd wander about aimlessly, and every voice sounds the same to them. They don't distinguish at all between the voice of a true shepherd and the voice of a false shepherd. They don't distinguish at all between the voice of the good shepherd and the voice of an hireling. That is, a hired hand who doesn't really care for the sheep, and he only takes care of them because he has to. They don't distinguish the voice of wolves who have mastered the satanic art of sounding like shepherds when their intention is to devour the sheep. When Jesus calls out to such wayward sheep, they pay him no mind. But they meander aimlessly along life's way, heedless of the disaster that lies in wait for them. And it's certainly not the good shepherd's fault if they don't hear him, if they don't listen to him. It's clearly their own. Jesus told the unbelieving Jews, who thought that they were the children of Abraham and therefore the sheep of God's pasture, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." You're not godly. You're not God-fearing. You're not God's children by faith in Christ Jesus. My sheep, on the other hand, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. His message is completely different from that of false shepherds, from wolves in sheep's clothing, different from hirelings who care nothing for the sheep. "Come unto me," he calls out to his sheep, "and I will give you rest. I am the way. I'm the road to heaven. I am the truth. There is such a thing. And I am the life. That's why I am the good," or from the original Greek, "the incomparably good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. My sheep know me." He not only knows who his sheep are, he not only knows everything about them, but he knows with special love and with special purpose how to make and to keep them his very own. And so he has imprinted upon them the recognition of their good shepherd's voice by the working of his Holy Spirit through the gospel. And not just the recognition of his voice, but the willingness, the desire to heed that saving voice as it calls out to them. We, my dear brethren, are sheep of Jesus by faith in him as our Savior. His effectual knowledge of us, by which he made us his own, and by which he keeps us his own, is his voice for the sake of our soul's security. The sweet, attractive, coaxing, and reassuring voice of his precious gospel in particular, which bids us to stay close to him, to beware of false prophets who come to us masquerading as shepherds, to steer shy of those who cause divisions and offenses in his flock, to turn our ears away from other sources who would lead us to depart from his precious word. The voices of not only of false prophets, but of false friends, whom we shouldn't but sometimes do trust. The voices of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh, which only seek to deceive us. Deceive is a negative word. Being deceived is not a good thing. Those voices would deceive us and seduce us into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice, Luther says. On the other hand, it is the word of his voice, the word of the gospel, whereby our faith in him is strengthened and preserved. It is his voice which we hear in the preaching of our pastor when he speaks to us the word of God in its truth and purity, as Jesus himself assures us in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. Oh, therefore, my beloved hearers, continue to hear your good shepherd's unmistakable voice, for then and only then will your spiritual security be assured, as he himself testifies and identifies you as his sheep, saying, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. But our security lies solely in our good shepherd, our text shows us, secondly, also because his leading is unquestionable. Jesus' leading is completely different from the leading of any other authority here in this world. Jesus' sheep are secure as they walk about in the wilderness of this present world because they follow me, he says. They don't just do their own thing as natural sheep will do. And although following Jesus' lead is important, yea, critical, crucial for his sheep, as he shows us in so many passages in Scripture, the key word in this expression of the Savior is me. They follow me, he says. Other sheep, that is, those who are not of his fold, are indeed followers, but they follow some other authority. They follow cunningly devised fables, Peter says in his second epistle. They follow myths. They follow principles that are not even true, that have no validity. They follow false prophets which come to them in sheep's clothing. They follow their human reason, refusing to take into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ in his word. They let their conscience be their guide as exhorted by Jiminy Cricket. Their conscience, which is corrupt and perverted since the fall of Adam and Eve, rather than binding it to the revealed will of God in His holy word. They follow the opinions and commandments of men, even though the Apostle Paul tells us that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of this world is the wisdom that we have apart from His word. The wisdom which this world considers exalted and high. Those poor sheep who hear other voices have no spiritual security whatsoever when they follow fables, when they follow false prophets instead of true prophets, when they follow human reason, when they follow an erring conscience and the edicts of fallible men here in this world. But as Jesus' sheep, we who are by His grace followers of Him, we are secure. We are walking on solid ground instead of sinking sand. We can put our confidence in that security because we are following the Savior's steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile, that is, two-faced lying, found in His mouth. We are abiding in Him as living branches in His vine. His leadership is unquestionable. He says, "I am the way. I'm the road to heaven. Don't get off of this road. Stay on this road if you want to get to your ultimately desired destination. I am the way to everlasting security in heaven." And Jesus' guarantee of that security to us is clear. For He says, "If any man serve Me, let him follow Me. And where I am, there shall also My servant be." Now, following the Good Shepherd does not, however, earn us any security. As if by meritorious good works, as by doing the right thing, we fall into His favor and earn our own spiritual security. For He says that this security of everlasting life is His unspeakably great gift to His dear sheep. Sure, they hear His voice, and they follow Him. But as He says here in our text, "I give unto them eternal life." Salvation is a gift of God. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "not of works, lest any man should boast." So we can't say we have eternal security because we're such good listeners. We have eternal security because we're such good followers. Because it is the Holy Spirit of God Himself who makes us hear His word, who makes us follow His word and His example. He makes us do all of those things by the power of His wonderful gospel. And this is not of any merit or worthiness in us, Luther says, but Jesus gives unto His sheep eternal life. This is an unspeakable gift, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, considering what we deserve by nature. "And they, My sheep, shall never perish," Jesus says. Literally, they shall not perish forever. They will not have to suffer the eternal damnation which they so richly deserve. Why not? Because our good shepherd bore our sins in his own body on the tree of the cross. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He did that for us. He was made to be sin for us. He redeemed us. He bought us back from the curse of the law. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, Luther tells us. Jesus, our self-sacrificing, incomparably good shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. What earthly shepherd does that? The earthly shepherd knows when it's time to cut and run, as we say. And Jesus did that for us while we were yet sinners, while we were still under God's wrath, before we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, when we were ungodly critters. And thus he satisfied God's justice to earn for us his unspeakable gift. Perfect security from death that we have now by faith in our good shepherd. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God, who otherwise would be justly angry with us. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That, my dear fellow sheep of the Lord Jesus, is real security. Security that counts. Security that lies not with us, but lies with our dear, incomparably good shepherd. And that security, Jesus now adds in our text, is guaranteed to us as he protects us from all harm and danger that would in any way imperil our soul. His protection of his precious sheep is absolutely unshakable. For he says, neither shall any man, or literally from the Greek, neither shall anyone, including Satan himself, pluck them out of my hand. Now, the Calvinists, you know, tear this comforting assurance from the whole context of the passage, and they pervert it or twist it to mean that once a person becomes a Christian, he can never fall from faith. Once a Christian, always a Christian. And that if a person does indeed fall, and you notice how they contradict themselves, it's because they never really were his sheep in the first place. Jesus says, no such thing here in our text. The certainty of salvation is not at all arbitrary or absolute, as if a Christian should be able to turn his ears away from hearing his good shepherd's voice. Stop following him. Despise his precious gift of salvation and still live under the shepherd's protection. Such a teaching would make our good shepherd into a plain fool. No, brethren, as the context clearly shows, no one shall be able to pluck one out of Jesus' hand those who continue to hear his voice. Those who continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him, their Savior. Those whose strength of faith is enhanced by the hearing of his precious word and the regular use of his holy sacrament. Those who continue to follow him, clinging to him in childlike faith, and showing by their good works that their faith is alive, that they're not just talkers. But those who accept by faith the shepherd's unspeakable gift of everlasting security in the mansions of heaven. Okay, if absolute perseverance in faith, as taught by the Calvinists, had one shred of truth in it, the Apostle Paul himself would have been a fool to have written, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's a real possibility. But we have to take heed. We have to watch out lest we fall by keeping our ears attuned to our good shepherd's voice, by keeping our feet following our good shepherd in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, by clinging in childlike confidence to the mansions in heaven that he has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. That's why it's essential that we continue to hear the voice of his precious word, that we follow him in childlike faith, that by the power of his precious gospel, by the means of his grace, we will be strengthened and preserved steadfast in his word and faith even unto our end. For that is, Luther reminds us, that is his gracious and good will. That's what he wants for us. So God grant that each and every one of us remain a true, humble, and faithful sheep of the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, for his precious name's sake, and thus continue to enjoy the security that only his true sheep can have, here in this life and hereafter in eternity. The assurance of security in the sheepfold of his grace by faith in him. And so we sing with the hymn writer, "Though great our sins and sore our woes, his grace much more aboundeth. His helping love no limit knows, our utmost need it soundeth. Our shepherd, good and true is he, who will at last his sheep set free from all their sins and sorrows." God grant that to us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.